people that have been set aside. They are the crippled, the blind, the people that we set aside, that we probably don't want to have anything to do with them. But Jesus was drawn to them. Jesus was drawn to these people. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, he said, I, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our foundation scripture. This is what we're basing this series on. Talking about Jesus himself looking for opportunities to reach the untouchables. Do you believe that God would rearrange his schedule to have an encounter with an untouchable? Last week we talked about the blind by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a blind man who had an encounter with Jesus. He had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. This week we're going to talk about the man who lay by the side of a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 5. When you're reading the Word of God, a story that you're reading, I want you to let the words of that story pop out and speak to you. I believe when you read a story, the Holy Spirit can speak, can uncover truth from that story. It's not just a story about a man who was lame and laying by the pool and waiting for the right time to take a plunge. We're talking about a lame man that is sitting by the pool waiting for a breakthrough in his life. And just like he was waiting by the pool, there were many others that were waiting by the pool, waiting for a breakthrough. So I want you to, as we read, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to make kind of like the words jump at you and tell a story that goes even beyond the words that we read. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can do that? Absolutely. Especially on Pentecost Sunday. Today is actually Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming down and ministering to us, to you and me. So like the ministering of the Holy Spirit that takes charge of a whole entire service, that is the Holy Spirit that I'm hoping would be able to minister to you and even to me as I'm delivering the message. Amen. So in John chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading. He says, the title is A Man Healed at the Pool of Bethesda. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which was called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Bethesda, by the way, means house of mercy. Beth, in the beginning, in the Hebrew word, it means house. Bethesda means mercy. So the house of mercy would be very symbolic to a church, right? This is where we show mercy because we've been given mercy. So that would be a good picture of the church, if you will. So in this place, the church, Jesus was very familiar with that place called Bethesda. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So these would be the untouchables. They would congregate around those five porches. They were the five porches where they would find shelter from the sun, from the element, where they would go and congregate and sit and wait for the moving of the water. We'll get more into this, but I want you to know that they're waiting for a breakthrough. They're sitting there in the shade of a porch. There were five porches. Each one, they would congregate. You would have the paralyzed being under one porch. The blind would be under another porch. The lame would be under another porch. So they would congregate and stay there and wait for a miracle. They would sit there and wait for a breakthrough. Kind of like you and I, when we come into church, we are hoping to get a breakthrough from God. We are hoping to hear from Him. We are hoping that when we come in here, we're going to leave this place changed, not the same. We're hoping for this kind of breakthrough. So these people are not any different than you and I. They're coming and waiting at this place called Bethesda, hoping to receive mercy, hoping to receive grace. And they sit there and they wait. In verse 4 it says, "For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. And after the stirring of the water was made, whatever disease they had, they were made well." So after the stirring of the water, which they believed that there was an angel coming in that would stir the water, and whoever gets into that water would actually be made well. So they would sit there and waiting for their turn. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. The word infirmity here, by the way, means a weakness. A man that had a weakness. We don't know the name of the man. We don't know what kind of weakness that he had. But he was a man that was staying there for 38 years. He would show up. And he carried that infirmity or that weakness for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, Jesus knew the guy. Jesus knew him. I believe Jesus has made this journey, passing that pool of Bethesda on his way to Jerusalem multiple times. This is not the first time that Jesus is passing the pool of Bethesda. But this time, Jesus stopped. Isn't that amazing? Jesus passed the same place several times, probably ever since he was a kid. Because probably when he was a little child, he would walk with his parents when he would walk all the way to Jerusalem for different type of feast. That's where they would hold feast, would be in Jerusalem. So he would pass by the pool of Bethesda several times. But this time it was a little bit different. He stopped and he asked this man who was lame, and he asked him this question: "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they ask him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn himself and a multitude being in that place. I want to point out this here. The man had no idea who Jesus was. But yet again, he received his healing from Jesus. Very different from the blind of Bartimaeus. Do you remember from last week? Immediately, he recognized Jesus being blind. And he called Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. This guy who got healed, who's been in that place for 38 years, had no idea who Jesus was. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. And then Jesus told him this, Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. He knew at that moment now that it was Jesus who made him well because Jesus went back and talked to him. Jesus challenged him right away with something that popped out of the pages when I was preparing this message. That's what I'm hoping, that as you read the word by yourself, the Holy Spirit would make words jump out and speak to you in such a way that the story itself takes on a new light, a new dimension, where the Holy Spirit is able to minister to you in a new way. Amen. The grace of God, this is the very first thing that jumped out to me. It was the grace of God brought wholeness to the lame man first. Very important. The grace of God immediately reached out to the man and made him whole. The grace of God will always act first to bring restoration, wholeness first. But then the grace of God doesn't just stop there. Isn't that amazing? When we look at the grace of God immediately makes you whole, but doesn't leave you just the way you are. The grace of God also challenged the lame man to repent, to change from his sinful ways, to turn around and follow him. The grace of God first makes you whole, but doesn't just leave you the way you are. The love of God will receive you as he finds you. The love of God will receive you just as you are. Do you receive that? Just as you are, the love of God will receive you. But also, I want you to pay attention to this, but also the love of God is too good to leave you the way you are. Too good to leave you the way you are. Restoration will always happen first. Then the challenge would be, would you make it right? Would you make it right? Would you turn from your ways and follow God? Big difference between grace and law. Law would always act first and say, this is wrong, but will not lift a finger to help. But grace comes in, makes whole, and then empowers you and me to do the right thing. Amen? And empowers us to do it right. Empowers us to follow God. That's the platform for this message this morning. Jesus knew the man. He knew exactly who he was. He walked up to the man and he asked him a question. You would probably think this is probably a redundant question. This question is probably misplaced. This person is sitting there under this porch. Obviously, this person needs help. Otherwise, why would he be there? But Jesus walked by this man and stopped and asked him a question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to have a breakthrough? when I read this, I'm saying, why? What is Jesus implying by asking a man who's obviously in need of a breakthrough, in need of a miracle? Why would Jesus walk up to this man and say, do you want to be made well? I know what my answer would be. But the implication by asking this question is simply this. Maybe, just maybe, you don't want to be made well. Just maybe, you don't want to receive this breakthrough. Otherwise, why would Jesus ask him this question? Do you want to be made well? Well, I'm in the right place, am I not? I'm in this place waiting for somebody to take me to this place where the water is being stirred. I'm waiting for my turn. I'm watching people pass me by, and I'm waiting for my turn to get into this water. And now you're coming and asking me this question, do I want to be made well? Well, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how many would actually not answer this question or would actually say no. Why would somebody say no to a breakthrough? That challenged me when I read this scripture. When I was preparing for this message, I'm like, wow. Jesus, why would somebody say no to a miracle, to a breakthrough? Three reasons. Excuse, effort, and experience. Excuse, effort, and experience. Let's look at excuse. This man with that infirmity for 38 years. He says, when Jesus saw him lying there, and knowing that it had already been in that condition for a long time, said to him, do you want to be made well? Jesus did not pray for him to be healed. Jesus just simply asked him this question. And instead of saying yes, he comes up with an excuse. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. I have no one. I am here by myself and I'm waiting for somebody to take me where I need to go. I am waiting for my turn, and while I'm coming, it's like I'm motivated to go, but while I'm getting there, somebody steps ahead of me. You know what he's saying? It's not my fault that I'm not healed. It's not my fault that I can't get there. It's not my fault that I cannot walk up to this pool where the angel is stirring up the water. It's somebody else's fault. Ouch. It's not my fault that I'm not receiving my breakthrough. It's John's fault that I'm not getting my breakthrough. It's Peter's fault that I'm not getting this breakthrough. It's somebody else's fault. An excuse would always rob us from the breakthrough. How many times do we say this? Yes, I believe. I believe what I'm hearing. I believe it. It's true. It's the Word of God. But I'm not ready for it. I am just not ready. I believe this word, this thing is amazing. It's the Word of God. But I don't think it really fits into my situation. Mine is a little bit too complex. I am not ready for this change. How many of us walk away from the breakthrough when the breakthrough is right there staring at us? How many times do we see, you know what, beyond this door there, I can see me and my family getting this breakthrough, but I just cannot let go of something that I want to keep holding on to for dear life. I'm just not ready for this change. An excuse will always rob you and me from any type of breakthrough. Anything that God wants to do in your life, in my life, if we find an excuse, we'll walk away from the promise of God over our lives. Sometimes we just have to step up and do what is required. Do what God is asking and quit making excuses for not listening and obeying. Amen? Amen. It gets better, okay? It gets better. I start strong and then we're going to cushion it somewhere there. Number two is effort. Breakthrough requires, big word, effort. Effort. You have to want it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to go after it. Breakthrough will not come without effort. When we're talking about breakthrough, we're talking about like a breakthrough of water. A push that creates a breakthrough. Now, ladies, you probably would understand what I'm saying here. A breakthrough of water. Just like in childbirth. Effort is required. Effort is required for the breakthrough. Like a breakthrough of water. Without effort, without the push, there is no breakthrough. No life can be given without push, breakthrough. Just like even a seed being planted into the soil, that seed must be pressurized from every direction until the top layer of that seed is broken loose and life from within is given out. Effort must happen for that seed to grow in spite of pressure. In fact, the seed thrives on pressure because that's the only way that seed can receive the breakthrough. You and I, we are seeds. For us to receive our breakthrough, we must be pressurized. Like sometimes you feel like you've been put in a pressure cooker, where you feel the tension, you feel the pressure. And when you're feeling those pressure, effort is required to step out of what feels comfortable. Because in that pressure cooker, it is not very comfortable. You're going to be pressed from every side. Pressed from every side, but you will not die. That's good news. You will be pressed from every side, but you will come out victorious. New life will come out of you when you're pressed. But it requires you to show effort for the breakthrough. Let me give you a few examples of breakthrough. I want to be debt free. Anybody want to be debt free? 100% debt free. That's the breakthrough, right? Do you know what the effort would be? It's going to be a shocker maybe for a few of you. Quit charging on the credit card when you don't have the money to pay for it. That would be the effort, right? That would be the effort that you'll have to make. Maybe get a second job. Maybe think creatively. Maybe take the Dave Ramsey course. Find out, get some knowledge on how to do it. Do it right. That's the effort, right? How about breakthrough? I wanna have friends. Young guys, you wanna have friends. What's the effort to have friends? Be friendly. You cannot have friends if you're mean. If you are unapproachable, people will stay away from you. If you're a grouch and you're like always criticizing or coming up with stuff that are like, well, let me just point out the things that are not working right. Well, you know what's going to happen? He's coming. Or she's coming. You get the point. There is an effort that is required for every breakthrough that you're expecting in your life. The effort must be there. Otherwise, there is no breakthrough. You would watch breakthrough come in and like, okay, not ready. That's the way the excuse comes in. Maybe another time. Maybe I'll wait a little bit longer. My turn will come. Somebody's going to stir the water for me. And then eventually I'll get there. 38 years. That's a long time to wait to get into the pool. I mean, you know, if I was sitting by the pool like this, and I'm infirm, I can't move very much, I mean, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be rolling. I'll be like, you know what? I'll be rolling, and eventually, you know what? I'll get into this pool before somebody else. Amen. I will roll down until somehow I'm able to get into this water. I won't be sitting there. Probably he was sitting on a chair somewhere. My guess is that, you know, the Bible doesn't really give us a lot of picture, but I can use my imagination. He was probably somewhere on one of these chairs where you can go all the way down like this. He was probably just staying there waiting for his turn, waiting for the right time. There is no such thing as the right time for you to get the breakthrough. You just have to make the effort to be in line with what God is saying. That's it. Amen. Just be in line with the promise. Claim the promise. Grab a hold of it and don't let go. Amen. Do whatever it takes to get you to the promised land. Yeah. Obey God. Do the right thing, even if it means you're stepping out of a box. When you honor God, that's the most important thing. You honor God the best you know how. Because not all of us know the right thing sometimes, but you do it the best you know how. You get the right counseling. You get around the right group of people that would be able to push you forward. Big difference between this man who's been waiting for 38 years and the woman with the issue of blood, who's dealt with this thing for 12 years. That will be next week's message, by the way. The motivation was different. One waited until the right time, and the other one created time. Created time. Make sure that she was in the right place at the right time when Jesus was passing by. One was looking out for Jesus and the other one was just waiting for the water to be stirred. Which one are we going to be when we are waiting for our breakthrough? Are we going to go after it? Or are we just going to sit and wait for the water to be at the right temperature for us to get in? Sometimes we just have to jump in with both feet. We just have to jump in. Jesus, I'm jumping in. I can't feel the bottom. I'm jumping in, and I'm hoping you're going to be able to hold me up. That's what it takes for us to receive breakthrough, when we're willing to lose sight of the shore. I'm just going deep, Lord. I'm just going to go all in or nothing. But I'm not going to hold back just because I don't like it. I don't feel like it. Guess what? When pressure comes, you will not feel like it. You would wish you were somewhere else, laying by the pool, sipping on some holy drink. You would not wish that you were in the pressure cooker, baked in the sun and waiting and waiting. Breakthrough happens when we are properly motivated. When we are properly motivated to go after it. And then the final one is effort. Is experience. He was saying to Jesus, you don't know how this works. You know, he said, yeah, Jesus, there is this angel that comes down and stirs up the water. That's when the breakthrough happens. Do you remember that in the passage that we just read? He had no idea who Jesus was. When Jesus is saying, do you want to be made well? It's like, well, let me tell you how it works. You have no idea. Obviously, you're not from around here. Why else would I be waiting here for my breakthrough? Of course I want a breakthrough. But he said, let me tell you a little bit how it works around here. Don't we do this sometime when we want to get our breakthrough? We want to really formulate it for Jesus? We'll say, you know what? Let me tell you how I want this to work. Have we ever done that before? I've been guilty of this thing. I'm like, no, Jesus, let it not work this way, Jesus. I want it to be this way where I'm not pressurized. Can that happen? Can that happen where I don't feel the pressure? Pressure is needed for the breakthrough. Every time when I tell Jesus about this, can I please not go through this? Can I please not go and apologize? I've offended this man. Can I not go and apologize? But guess what would Jesus do for the breakthrough? You go apologize. You go be the bigger man. You go make it right. Even though you have done nothing. That's pressure. That makes you in a place where you're not very comfortable. But for me to receive my breakthrough, guess what? I want to be in that type of pressure. I want to be in that place where I'm humbled. Yes, Jesus, I will go. I will humble myself because I know you will lift me up. That's breakthrough. The man wanted his breakthrough on his own terms, based on his past 38 years of experience. That's a long time of experience. He's got a whole lot of list of probably his accomplishments, everything that he's done, everything that he's gone through. And guess what? He's got his repertoire of everything that God has done for him. And he's holding on to these past experiences, these past expectancies of what he has. And he's saying, I want this breakthrough based on my past experience. Now Jesus could have actually given the man exactly what he wanted. Could have said, you know what? Yeah, okay, I agree with you. You're wanting the water to be stirred and you're wanting to have a turn in line. Let me make that happen for you. Let me make that happen for you. Okay, that's the least I can do. I'm here, right now, and I'm having this conversation with you, and this is what you're expecting based on your past 38 years of experience being in this pool of Bethesda, expecting to receive grace and mercy under your terms. Let me make this happen for you. Let me go stir up the water for you. Which, by the way, if you read a little bit of the historical background of this passage, you'll find out that the stirring of the water by this angel happened during the time of Jesus' time on earth. Prior to this, there's no evidence of that ever happening where people were coming in and getting healed by the pool of Bethesda. I believe Jesus had something to do with this thing. I believe Jesus, even as a child, he would walk in by the pool with his mom and dad when they were not watching. Kids would do that, right? When mom and dad are not watching, Jesus is going down there looking around and he stirs the water. Then he walks back and he walks away. He walks with mom and dad and he leaves and he goes to Jerusalem. And the next time there's another feast, he comes back. And finally, Mary caught wind of this, like, because Mary heard, hallelujah, somebody got healed. And Mary looked at Jesus and said, son, was that you that did that? Was it you that did that? So Jesus knew about the stirring of the water. He did not need the man to tell him, Jesus, let me tell you how this works. If you want to receive breakthrough in your life, you have to let go of the past experiences. You got to let go of the past achievement, the crowns, the things that you've accomplished in your life. You have to let go of the old and make room for the new. You can't park by those failures, and you can't park by those successes if you're expecting a breakthrough of God in your life. The moral of this story is simply this. I told you it gets better as we go. So that little humor there, that supposed to make it a little bit better. But at least let me drive this point home, because this is critical for the breakthrough. Here Jesus is showing us another side of grace. Another side of grace. A side of grace that compels you and me to come out of darkness. A side of grace that compels us to come out of being under the enemy, stronghold, oppression, to come out and to live for Jesus. To let go of a life of past strongholds of the enemy and live a life of freedom in the light of Jesus. That is another side of grace. For too long, I believe the church in general, not this church, has been using the grace of God as a big cover-up. The grace of God first reaches out and makes you whole. But the grace of God is too strong, too powerful to leave you just the way you are. The grace of God is God's empowerment for you to live a life that is worthy of a Christian life, worthy of Him, of the price that He's paid for you and for me. So don't make excuses. Make an effort to embrace a new experience with God. That's breakthrough. That's breakthrough. That's the breakthrough that you and me, we need. Is not to make an excuse, but to make an effort to embrace a new experience with God. Out with the old, in with the new. Amen. Would you please stand to your feet? Almighty God, we give you praise. And we give you glory. And we give you all the honor that is due to your mighty name. Lord, we will leave this place changed. Not the same. Fully empowered by your grace to live a life that brings you honor, that brings you glory. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your love reached us right where we are. But your love is way too good to leave us just the way we are. Lord, we pray for your change to happen here, to happen now. From the inside out, Lord, cleanse us. Purge our conscience from anything from the enemy. Bring in the new thoughts, a new life, so that we can live for you and you alone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, anything, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. You need a miracle. You need a breakthrough. You've been tormented by the enemy. You need a breakthrough. Don't leave this place without your breakthrough. Don't wait for the water to be stirred, for the temperature to be right. Now is the time. Now is the day for you to receive this breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Thank you, church. The altar is open. I'm going to be here. And a few of us, we're going to be here. We're going to pray for you. And the rest of you, you're dismissed. We'll see you again next week.